Welcome back to our service. We are so excited to be here tonight and look forward to hearing the testimonies of those who have been saved by the Lord in our baptism water tonight. But before they come, we want to sing. So let's stand together as we sing.
Is our
for an opening word of prayer.
That person doesn't exist anymore, that we are now made new in him, that we now know you as Father. We have a relationship with you where once we were dead to you. We thank you that we now have a love for your truth where once we were rebellious against it and unwilling to hear it and to respond. Lord, we thank you for the remarkable changes you've produced through the gospel when we heard and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to rehearse that and to hear those who have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord share their testimonies with us. We thank you for that privilege. And Lord, I pray that you would use the truth that they will share with us tonight in their own stories to encourage those of us who are in Christ. And Lord, for those who may be with us who don't know you, who've never come to repent of their sins and put their faith in Christ, that tonight would be the night when you would draw them to yourself through the gospel that they will hear. We thank you again for the privilege of gathering. We thank you for the grace you have shown us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you this evening, and let me say a special welcome if you're our guest. We're so grateful you're here. Maybe you came to hear the testimonies of one who's going to be sharing their testimony tonight in baptism to support them. Thank you for doing that. I know that will mean so much to them. Or maybe in God's providence, you didn't know we were having a baptism service, but you're here, you're in for a real treat. You're going to be greatly encouraged by the testimonies that you'll hear tonight. Let me just start by making sure that we're clear on what baptism is and isn't. The book of Acts is very clear. If you follow it carefully, you'll find that again and again, those who are baptized are those who have already come to trust in Jesus Christ. They repent of their sins, believe in Christ, and then they are baptized. So baptism doesn't effect a spiritual change in the people being baptized. Rather, it's a testimony of a change that's already happened. And so that's what's happening here tonight. Is they want to confess that they now follow Jesus Christ and the change that he has produced in their lives. The sort of picture in baptism, I was just sharing with them before the service, the picture is a beautiful one because it really is out of Romans chapter 6 where Paul describes that for the believer in Jesus Christ, at the moment of salvation, the moment that we trusted in Christ, the person that we once were, that person died, and it's as if we died when Christ died. It's as if we were buried when he was buried, and we, like him, have been raised to new life. And that's really what this pictures. As I put them under the water, it is the picture that the person they once were isn't anymore, and that person is dead and gone and buried. And when I pull them up out of the water, it's a testimony that they now have been made new in Jesus Christ. They're a new person in him. For those of us who are in Christ, I was thinking this week about how the gospel is communicated. I'm working my way through the gospels just for my own soul, and I was reminded of John chapter 1, and in that paragraph where it talks about how people came to know Jesus, there were several ways, and I just want to challenge you, think about yourself, and then think about how you as a believer might bring the gospel to others. One way is John the Baptist pointed his disciples to Jesus. Sometimes it happens through someone who's a spiritual leader, someone who's in a position, they preach a sermon, they share their testimony, and through that person's influence, someone comes to know Jesus. As the paragraph unfolds, you remember Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he heard about Jesus, and he brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Sometimes it's through family. Often it's through family, either as we raise our children and we direct them and shepherd their hearts toward Christ. Sometimes it's as we share our faith with family members, either in our immediate family or extended family. Andrew found first his own brother, Simon, and said, "We have found the Messiah." Sometimes that's how people come to know Christ, through family. Sometimes it's through friends. Later in the same passage, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, his friend, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." We have the opportunity to bring the gospel to bear into the lives of our friends and acquaintances, co-workers, fellow students. That's how the gospel often comes. And then finally, sometimes the Lord intervenes directly. In this same passage, the Lord himself found Philip. Of course, in that case, Jesus was present on the planet and found him physically and spoke to him and called him. In our case, sometimes the Lord calls through his word. There's not really even a person involved. Somebody's reading the Bible, and through his word, the Lord calls someone to himself. All of those things happen. So I would just encourage you to think about that. As you hear their testimonies, you're going to hear different ways that people came to know Christ. And I would encourage you to think about how you can be like one of these in the early portion of John's gospel, who introduced family or friends to Jesus. Or maybe you're in a position of spiritual leader and you can introduce others to Christ. And of course, make sure that those in your life who don't know Christ are exposed to the Word of God, where God can do his work directly through that Word. Well, I hope you'll pray for those who come tonight to share their testimonies with us. And I hope as they do, you'll be encouraged, and maybe there'll be one or two that your heart really resonates with, or maybe your story in some way. I hope you'll pray for them, especially in this coming week and weeks. And if you see them around, you'll let them know that afterwards. So you pray as they come now to share their testimonies with us.
Good evening. My name is Donna Broadbeck, and this is my testimony. I was raised in a work-based religious background. The emphasis was on law-keeping, strict Sabbath observance, following dietary laws prescribed in Scripture and by our prophet, and keeping separate from unbelievers to avoid their influence in our lives. My father was an elder in the church we attended, and I was baptized as a child. I grew up learning Bible stories, reading Scripture, and attending church three times a week. Yet I did not have any real knowledge of God, of His holiness, and I didn't understand my own sinfulness. As I entered my teen years, I knew that God was our Creator. He was perfect in holiness and required the same from me. Matthew 5:48 says, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." I knew I did not have the perfect righteousness to please him and had no idea how to obey him perfectly. I was being taught obedience and righteousness to God in church, in school, and home, but realized no one I knew was righteous or holy, and I felt lost. I was confused about my sin, and I was fearful of the judgment to come. It was at this time I left home to attend boarding school and then college. While in college, I abandoned the religion I had been raised in, and this resulted in an isolation from my family and my childhood friends. I went for many years pursuing my career and living for myself. I knew my life was sinful and unrighteous. I remembered scriptures that I had learned as a child, such as Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." And I would recite Romans 10:9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. I wanted to believe, but I could not figure out how to have belief resulting in righteousness. I began to search for a church which could supply the answer I was seeking, how to be right with God. During this time, my father shared a story about a man standing outside of his church witnessing to members as they were leaving the church service. He suggested my father should read a book written by Dr. John MacArthur entitled The Gospel According to Jesus. He felt certain this book would reveal to my father the one true way of salvation. I decided to order the book to see what would cause someone to spend a Saturday morning outside of a church recommending reading material. When the book arrived, I spent the weekend reading through it twice, and my entire life was changed. I was astonished, frightened, and happy all at the same time. I immediately knew this was the true gospel. The gospel I had never heard or understood my entire life. This was the good news I thought I would never find. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no man will be justified. I now knew my sinful life had been a life of rebellion against a just and holy God, and I hated the sin in my life. I now understood that God had made a way through the perfect sacrifice of His Son, His life of righteousness for my life of sin, His death so that I could have life and a right standing before God. I prayed for forgiveness and cleansing from my sin and wisdom to serve my Lord, Christ Jesus, and to trust and obey His word. I contacted Grace to You and joined their sermon tape club and was able to hear clear biblical teaching each week. I ordered a set of the New Testament commentary so I would be able to study God's word, and I joined with the believers at Grace via the internet to worship with God and His people. After several months, I found Countryside Bible Church in 2002 and started attending church here. I now understand passages like Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God and not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Galatians 2:20 reminds me I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Daily I experience the joys of Lamentations 3:22-23, knowing the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. My life is now filled with peace and joy, and I can rejoice in all of life's circumstances by following James 1:2-4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I continue to grow in my walk with the Lord through the teaching of God's word in church and Sunday school. I strive through the power of the Spirit to follow His commands in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I seek to obey Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Through the strength of His Spirit, I seek guidance to obey Titus 2:12-13, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. I am daily spending time reading and meditating in God's word, confessing my sins, seeking forgiveness, and striving to obey Him in all that I do. By His grace and His mercy to me, this has become the joy in my life. So I'm here in obedience to God's word to be baptized as a believer.
Well, Donna, it's so encouraging to hear your story, to hear how the Lord brought you to Himself. Because you gave up all hope of being justified by your own works and your own righteousness, because you have instead trusted in Christ
as the only means for you to be right with God, to be just before Him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Fernando Hernandez. I'm here to share my testimony with all of you. I want to tell you that my past life was immersed in sin, as I described in the description in Galatians 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evidence which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, murders, strifes, jealousies, outer wars and angers, disputes, decisions, factions, and vice, drunkenness, cursing, and things like that. That verse explains how was my life ruled by that kind of sins. So many times I lied to my family. So many times I lost control with alcohol. So many times I had relations before marriage. But the worst things, it was that I loved everything before I love God. My soul, my body, it was empty, looking for false and temporary love. But God's grace, glory, and kindness, I was blessed with good friends who shared the gospel of Jesus with me and took me to biblical church, where I could hear the words of God. To God's glory, I realized there are no action I could take will restore my relationship with God Father. Since the life I had, I led an endless list of sins. I was completely broken, but also understanding that in His love, in His great love and mercy, God's visited me with His salvation, as said in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. But God's being rich in mercy because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we are dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. This salvation only comes to us through Jesus Christ, who came and died, and He was crucified and rose for me. And Jesus alone grants forgiveness of sin for those who put the faith in Him. I was blessed by the promise of Jesus, as John says in 4:14, but whoever drinks of this water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will him be that I will give him, I will become in him, I will of water spring up to eternal life. When I was saved, that emptiness I was had disappeared. I was repent of my sins and become more involved with the local church, with my brothers and sisters around me. I like to spend time with those who have cared for my growth, my spiritual growth. And this is not my first language, but I try to do this just to glorify my Lord. Because Jesus now is my Lord and Savior, I'm here tonight to be baptized in obedience and His words.
Fernando, thank you for working hard to communicate so we can understand. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Because you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope of forgiveness, as the only way to be made right with God, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Peyton Jackson, and I am honored to share my testimony with you all today. Like many people who attend Countryside, I was raised in a household with Christian values. I grew up in Delaware, where from a young age, I was taught to read the Bible, pray, and acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. However, when I was 9 years old, I began to realize that my father, who had been my main source of biblical teaching, was not a Christian. Even as his mental illness became more apparent, it was clear that his life had never produced the fruit of true saving faith. Eventually, he left our household for several years and counting, and this change in my life left me feeling embittered. I became rude to my mom and sister and struggled with anger and resentment in my own heart. Romans 1, verses 29 through 31 describes the state of my heart before I came to Christ. They had become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. These verses perfectly described who I was. My bitterness, selfishness, and anger showed how far I was from God's grace and how desperately I needed his forgiveness. On August 9th of 2021, my mom sat me down to have a serious conversation about my faith. She helped me understand my need for salvation and pointed me to Jesus Christ as the only way to be reconciled with God. It was during this time of reflection that I realized I could not change my heart on my own and that my bitterness and sin separated me from God. I came to understand that I needed his forgiveness and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I was enlightened to the fact that there was nothing I could do on my own that could save me from my sins. No good deed, as stated in Galatians 2:16, would justify me. Only Christ Jesus. Like the tax collector stated in Luke 18:13, I humbled myself before my God and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Galatians 2:20 now describes my life. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. My old self, filled with bitterness, anger, and selfishness, has been put to death, and Christ now lives in me, guiding my thoughts, actions, and desires. Since placing my faith in Christ, I have seen his work in my life in many ways. My anger and bitterness no longer control me, and I strive to treat my mom, sister, and others with patience, kindness, and love. I have developed a greater desire to read God's word, pray, and live in a way that honors him rather than following the ways of the world. I've also been more intentional about serving others, volunteering in the Special Needs Ministry weekly, and looking for opportunities to encourage and support those around me. Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32 remind me to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. This verse now reflects my life that my God is helping me live. My family and I can now see the difference in my thoughts, attitudes, and actions. And I am grateful for his constant guidance and grace. So, in accordance with God's word and in great appreciation of his salvation and grace shown towards me, I am here today to be baptized.
Well, Peyton, thank you for sharing your life story with us. We rejoice that you have come to repent of your sins and to put your faith solely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because of that, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Reagan Jackson, and I'm grateful to share my testimony with you all this evening. I grew up in a Christian home. I frequently read the word, and my parents did their best to model how they believed a Christian should act and live. I enjoyed going to church and would not ride along with the pastor as he prayed for the Lord to save sinners who had not yet come to repentance. I simply didn't believe I was one of them. I didn't see myself as a sinner in need of saving. But Scripture says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That included me. I just didn't know it yet. My sin didn't bother me much, and it wasn't something I thought about often. Because of the stressful circumstances I was in, from about the ages of 7 to 11, my dad had suddenly developed a mental illness, causing him to lose all sense of reality, and his cognitive health declined rapidly. He was fine one night, and the next day was almost unrecognizable in the way he spoke and acted. It was a scary time as a 7-year-old. And during that time, I moved from Delaware to California with my mom and my twin sister. And not much had been explained to me about what was going on, which caused a lot of hurt and anger. I was characterized by impulsiveness, selfishness, and worry, as my life just seemed to fall apart around me. My mom continued to read the Bible with my twin sister and I took comfort in it. I hadn't thought about my sin during those times because my life seemed flooded with the mistakes and bad choices of others. About 2 years went by. I was about to turn 9, and my dad joined our household again once his mental health seemed more under control. During this period, I struggled with outbursts of anger, disobedience, and distrust. I'd been abandoned by my father, who was my everything. I loved him to the point of idolatry. When the Lord removed him from my life, though suddenly and tragically, I realized I needed something I didn't have and couldn't find. The peace of God. That's what I was longing for. The kind of peace Jesus promised in John 14:27. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled nor fearful. I was afraid, and the Lord had his hand stretched out the entire time. During the 8 months he lived with us again, I tried to share the gospel with him and settle the confusion in my own heart, especially as he began saying things like, "I'm Jesus, and there's no such thing as sin." He refused to go to church, and that's when I felt the tugging in my heart and began to pray, prayers of desperation. In those prayers, I was finally starting to understand what 2 Corinthians 7:10 means. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. I wasn't just scared, I was convicted. Even then, I still hadn't given up hope in myself, and I continued to try and fix myself, my attitude, and my sinful desires. Romans 8, 6-8 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, and it is not even able to do so." This verse described my heart to a T. At the age of 12, we moved to Texas and started coming to Countryside. It was February or March of 2023, and I was listening to a lesson in the middle school group about edification. As usual, I heard it, I wanted to apply it, and I prayed for those who were unbelievers. Then I left. We were driving home, and my mom had had enough. I'd interrupted my sister for about the fifth time, and everything that came out of my mouth was rude, disrespectful, or just didn't need to be said. When we got home, my mom explained to me that I had not been acting like a Christian, and I stood there silently. She reminded me that people who aren't Christians go to hell. I knew what she meant, and that only confirmed my fear, that I didn't want to end up like my dad. That fear drove me to my knees, and I knew it was unlikely that I would become like my dad, but I also knew I didn't have to reach that point to end up in the same place, hell. I was finally beginning to grasp Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I knew I couldn't earn that gift. I had to receive it by faith. That night, I gave my life to the Lord and repented of my sins. God did what he promises in Ezekiel 36:26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." I asked God to change my heart and my desires. I pled with the Lord to heal my broken heart and to take away my anger. I cried out to him, knowing there was nothing that I could do to be worthy of his presence. I felt unsurmountable peace that night. And like the tax collector in Scripture, Luke 18, verses 13 and 14, with the tax collector standing some distance away, was even unwilling to raise his eyes toward heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified." That night, I too believe I walked away forgiven. My life has changed so much since I gave my life to Christ. My mom and sisters see that I have become more gentle and respectful. I truly enjoy going to church because of the knowledge I gain each week. and it fuels my desire to grow in sanctification. I now exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, not perfectly, but I see how the Lord has calmed my anger and impulsiveness and taught me to trust in him. I desire the will of God, and even as I still mourn the absence of my dad, I continue to pray that he would come to faith in Christ. In the midst of that sorrow, I have peace that surpasses all understanding. I still struggle with doubt and with desiring the things of the world, but I am no longer a slave to those things. I repent of the sins I am aware of in my life, and I try not to linger in them. I'm still sorrowful sometimes because I'm not who I want to be, but I thank the Lord that I'm not who I used to be. Like Paul said in Romans 7:15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. I relate to that so much, but more than anything, I want to be like Christ. I read my Bible daily, and I make it my goal to live in prayer. I serve weekly in the special needs ministry and Awana here at Countryside. I take advantage of the time I get to spend with other believers, and in August of 2025, I finished the Partners One-on-One program with Sarah Roca, who was so gracious and patient as I continue to learn and grow in Scripture. Jesus carries me through my doubts and my seasons of unbelief, just like he did with Thomas. When Jesus appeared to him, he said in John 20, verses 27 and 28, reach here with my finger, with your finger, and see my hands, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered, my Lord and my God, because of everything I shared with you today, I join Thomas in declaring Jesus Christ as my Lord and my God. And that's why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Reagan, we are so grateful that, like in the story you shared from Jesus' own mouth, you have cried out to God as a sinner, saying, God, show me mercy in Christ. And we rejoice with you that he's not only given you peace with him, but he's given you peace within your heart. Because of that, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello. My name is Tim Allen. Growing up in church, my home had both a religious mother and a non-believing father. I was raised in both Ute Indian spirituality and American Christianity. My ability to combine these aspects had led to a self-focused, sin-driven, lustful life. When the opportunity to get fire insurance via youth camp baptism came along, it was a no-brainer. Little did I know, it was more like a book of matches and airline fuel for not knowing God at all. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. For the next few decades, I was convinced all was well with my soul, but had no interest in reading or studying God's word. Going to church every Sunday was good enough for me. I was the head of a growing family, but had no example of godly men around, and most at the church had similar lifestyles. I had encountered many difficult situations with our growing family, but felt God was too distant to be bothered. It seemed to me that I was a good person who was in a trouble with a bad God. Isaiah 26:10, but when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. As our family grew and older children moved out, I still had a lot of grief and anger about my childhood. It was never resolved, and I took most of my anger out on my family and the world at large. I was nearing the bottom of a selfless life when things changed. Christ opened my eyes and called me while reading and studying through the book of Jude. Jude 1:11, Woe to them, for they've gone the way of Cain, and for pay they've rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. I had rejected accountability before a holy God, pursued and encouraged idolatry that led to personal downfall in myself and others, and was faking my way around God and his word, thinking I was putting God on trial. It was I that was on trial, and without Jesus as my advocate, it was hopeless. In a hotel room in Las Vegas, I confessed my sinful nature and accepted his election upon my life. My heart was turned and eyes opened. My confession is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. In reality, I was a bad person who deserved the hell and wrath of a good God. The Father's love for me has set me free from the tyranny. That which held me in its grip has been dethroned, but it has not been destroyed. I had to realize through prayer and Bible study that this was not a transaction, and I'm not trying to make a deal with God. Going from an angry man to a peacemaker has been the biggest transition. Mark 9:49-50. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but what if the salt becomes unsalty? With what will make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. I now daily read the word with my family in the morning. We're attending Bible classes at Countryside, men's groups, and joining the church family to be under the authority of Christ and his church. I'm here to present myself in obedience for baptism.
Well, Tim, thank you for sharing a bit of your life story with us. We are so grateful that the Lord brought you to have your eyes open, to see the truth of who you are, that you're hopeless, as you said, without the Lord, and to see your hope in Jesus Christ. Because you have abandoned all hope in yourself and you've trusted in him and him alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Priyanka, and this is my testimony. Even though I was born into a Christian family and regularly attend the church, deep down, I always knew I was not truly living according to God's word. I knew the truth, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I was aware of my sin and felt the guilt, but I allowed myself to be carried away by worldly distractions. I was afraid to turn fully to God because I believe I wasn't qualified to stand before him. As the Bible says in Romans 3:10, no one is righteous. No, not one. That was me. I knew I was not right with God. When I moved to US for college and was away from my family and church, I completely stopped attending church and no longer gave time to God. I didn't even maintain a prayer routine. I was so busy with friends, college, and everything else that God was pushed away to the side. I was trying to fill my life with temporary things, but deep down I still felt empty. It was during a period of loneliness, about 3 months, where I was completely alone, then I finally realized something. Everyone else may leave, but God never did. I came to understand that in my loneliness, he was the only one who is truly with me. That was the moment when my heart began to turn back to him. I realized that I could never earn God's love or approval with my own efforts. and that salvation was a gift I need to receive. As said in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I also remember the words Jesus said in Mark 1, 14 to 15. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I knew it was time to stop running and to repent, believe and surrender my life completely to him. That was the beginning of my new life in Christ. After I truly repented and turned to Christ, I experienced a deep sense of peace and comfort that I had never felt before. I noticed that I began to sin less, not because I became perfect, but because God started changing my heart. Whenever I was about to do something, a quiet voice within me would ask, is this right according to Bible? It was a little I knew to new kind of control in my life, not from outside, but from the Holy Spirit working within me through the gospel. I began to pray more, read Bible daily, and feel that God was speaking directly to me. In my loneliness, only the word of God gave me true comfort. I came to understand that I don't have to figure out the life of my own. God is with me, guiding me step by step. All I need is to do is to follow him. As said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live is in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Priyanka, thank you for sharing your testimony. We are so grateful that you have come to put your trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to believe in him, because even as you shared from Ephesians 2, by his grace you've been saved through your faith in him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Michaela Southwood. My life before salvation was broken on a dark path full of anxiety and panic attacks over the unknown. I grew up attending church, and I thought I was Christian, but I fell off the path for a few years, and I stopped going to church. I was consumed with sinful anxiety and depression over death and the afterlife, mainly Judgment Day. This past summer in June, I started a Bible study with a few friends. While participating in the Bible study, I started noticing my social media became more faith-based, and I came across a few TikToks, one being a puppet that was teaching about Judgment Day. While watching the TikTok, I realized I had been wrong about what Judgment Day truly was. I came to the realization that I was just playing Christian, and I wasn't actually saved. I was still living in sin and not fully trusting God and his word. I was a sinner who needed to repent and accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, as only he could essentially wash my sins away and bring me to the Father. Hebrews 9:27-28 states, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. This reinforced God's grace and mercy to me. Since giving my life to Christ and proclaiming him as my Lord and Savior, I have found a sense of peace that wouldn't be possible without him. I am happier and see my life full of meaning and worth. I hold very close to my heart Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, as well as Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says Yahweh, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have called you by name, you are mine. I'm very thankful that he welcomed me with his grace and mercy and has shown me his love. I attend church and Bible study with my friends, as well as newly attending 128. I listen to worship music, pray, and give thanks to God and try to live my life as God calls me to, which is why I'm here to be baptized today.
Michaela, thank you. And we're grateful that the Lord reached into your life and has given you peace with him and therefore peace in your heart. Because you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone, because you have abandoned all hope in yourself, but your hope now is in him. He is your hope, as you just quoted. Because of that, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Gabriela Whitner. I was raised in Romania and in the Orthodox tradition. I heard the scripture during Sunday sermon, but never studied deeply. I used to pray mainly for myself, unaware of God's sovereignty and plan. I used to ask for help, not realizing that my actions should focus on bringing glory to God, not to me. I was judging others and often argued about meaningless things. My perspective has shifted. I now aim to glorify God with my actions, avoiding self-judgment and pointless arguments, in line with Proverbs 3:5, which urges to trust in the Lord over personal understanding. The deaths of my husband and my mother, and several professional trials that followed one after another, made me turn to Jesus to find peace and strength. In Psalm 50:15, God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me." Although I ask the Lord to open this word to me and to give me understanding, I realized that I could not get into the true meaning of the word, and I realized that I needed guidance. My neighbors, Amy and John Bebko, who are people of faith, helped me and guided me. They talked and invited me to the church. I realize now that it is the Lord who guided me and chose to save me. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. John 16:13. The following Sunday during the sermon, Pastor Tom said, "Christians, you are on this earth to honor, praise, and glory God in all you do. This is your role, to show humility and honor the Creator." His words pierced through me, and I realized that I have it all wrong. And I have sinned all my life, not understanding the true meaning of sin and that faith. That was the moment when I realized that I needed to repent, to turn my life around, to change, to be humbled so I can be saved and have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6. Sorry. Just as Isaiah 64:6 says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." The Lord humbled himself, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Humility, believing in the word, and repentance are first steps. Since my eyes, my mind, and my heart have opened to God, I am a new person. Whenever I feel like I stumble at my job or anything else, I pray to God for guidance. I am never alone. I start the day praying and promising to honor, glorify, and praise the name of the Lord in everything I do and I say, and at the end of the day, thanking Him for the blessings that I received. I am patient and remind myself to show understanding towards everyone and in every situation. I have learned not to take anything for granted, to give thanks for everything. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. He gives me strength one moment at a time, all the time. When difficult moments or situations arrive, I pray to Lord and the Holy Spirit for guidance and support. God demands repentance and faith in every circumstance. He advocates for me. I am not alone anymore. There is a difference between who God is and me, if I am to be in His image, I have a lot of work to do. I am a sinner, unworthy of the love and tender mercy of God. But God has not only the power and strength, He has shown mercy and grace towards unworthy creatures. I seek the truth, His grace and His mercy every day and ask for His peace to fill my heart as I wait for His timing. I strive to be obedient. For whomever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all, according to James. Just as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A lot of doors have opened to me. Bible class, women group, people who genuinely and are helping me to stay afloat. I share scripture words with my patients, and I pray with them. 2 Kings 25 says, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. The power of prayer is invaluable. I believe in the Lord's resurrection and in He who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This is my testimony, and this is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Gabriella, I remember when the Bebcos first introduced us, and it's been exciting to watch the Lord's work in your life. Because you have come to understand that the wages of your sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And because you have trusted Him for that eternal life, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Jacqueline Gerges. I grew up in a small city in Egypt in a Christian home. Like the custom was almost every Christian family in Egypt. I was baptized as an infant. I grew up going to the church and keeping up good moral conduct. My family lived in a simple, peaceful life. At the age of 8, I lost my dad to a tragic train accident. This came as a shock to me and my entire family. My mom particularly was devastated by what happened, and I was sad and angry, and I wondered why this happened to me and my family. A few years later, when I was in middle school, my aunt invited me to go to her church. I listened and I started to go with her, and I heard the gospel and I saw God as a perfect father who loves me and cares for me. God drew me closer to Him and softened my heart, and I prayed and I asked God to forgive me and set me free from my sins and to be my heavenly Father. As in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Looking back, I see that God worked in my life even during the time of struggle to bring me to maturity and strengthen me when I was weak. But as in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. There was a time when I didn't understand nor accepted what God allowed to happen, but now I know that God is faithful and unchanging. Over the years, God has been working in my life to shape me and bring me closer to him. Now I understand the words of Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Jesus, those who are called according to his purpose. I was dead in my sins, and God softened my heart, opened my eyes, and made me alive in Christ. I now trust in God's sovereignty over my life in all circumstances that led me to be put all trust in God as my Savior. The Bible says in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I have witnessed God's goodness and faithfulness over the years. He placed me with a wonderful family and success in different areas. My heart desires have changed, and my God is helping me to mature in my faith. I read my Bible and pray for God's guidance and renewed mind. My main ministry is to serve my husband and my children. I also desire to serve at the church and seek fellowship with other believers. I thank God for extending grace toward me, for seeking me and made me a new creature. If anyone in Christ is a new creature, the old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's why I am here to be baptized.
Well, Jacqueline, we are so grateful that though, like the rest of us, you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, God, because of his great mercy and love to us in Jesus Christ, made you alive. Because you have, by his grace, come to believe in his Son, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Kiri Kemmerling, and I'm here tonight to share my testimony. I grew up in a Christian household my whole life. I was taught that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day. I knew all that in my mind, but not truly in my heart. I knew all the right answers to every Bible question, reciting all the right Bible verses, yet my heart was the hardest of hearts. I was a mean, hateful person who loved my sin. I lied, stole, and took the Lord's name in vain. But the main sin I kept choosing was anger. I always yelled at people and said hurtful words. I had to always be right in every situation. Romans 2:1-2 says, therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightfully falls upon those who practice such things. I was also the complete opposite of what it says in 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. I often retaliated against the family members I felt sinned against me. After being confronted about this by a couple of my family members, I started to be more open about my sin. Around the time I turned 13, I started actually listening to the lessons during Sunday school and worship. I wanted to know more about my sin. Then one Wednesday night in my small group, the ministry application was brought up and my leader said this is for those who are true Christians. I knew deep down I wasn't a true Christian. I came home that night and talked to my mom, and she shared the gospel with me. I thought that night hard about what she said. She gave me several verses that night to think about, including Romans 10, 9 through 10, which says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. I wanted to love like Jesus has perfectly loved us. I knew I wasn't loving and forgiving like Jesus. I wanted to be like the people in my life whose lives were like Christ. So a couple months later, I was at home one evening and I fell on my knees and I repented of my sins. My heart was being softened by the Holy Spirit. I actually wanted to go to church and hear more about God. The more I learned of this, I started to understand. Understand how to love others. 1 Corinthians 4-8. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous. Love does not brag, it is not arrogant, it does not act unbecoming, it does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. Since then, the Holy Spirit has helped me to be more loving and kind. Not to take account of wrong or rejoice in unrighteousness, but to rejoice in the truth. I still struggle with being arrogant and acting unbecoming and not seeking my own. I read the word, pray, and repent of those sins and others. I also love to serve my family in the preschool Sunday school. I've been enjoying reading the Old Testament and listening to the Word Unleashed. I'm now here tonight to be baptized in obedience to God's commandments.
Well, Kira, because you have come to confess Jesus as Lord and to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Elijah Kemmerling, and I'm here tonight to share my testimony with you. I grew up in a Christian home where I was taught the Word of God daily, went to church every Sunday, and even participated in the children's choir program here. I knew about heaven and hell and the consequences for my sin if I did not repent, but regardless, I kept those thoughts out of my head because they will often scare me. I always thought to myself I would just become a Christian when it actually matters. But I didn't know when that was. I just used it as an excuse to continue on in my sinful pattern. Growing up, I was full of pride and rebellion. I was often deceitful towards my family on a daily basis, and that drew a line of trust they had with me. When I hit my teenage years, and eventually when I got my license, things went downhill. I became more devious in my day-to-day life, whether it was lying to my parents about where I was going, whom I was hanging out with, or if I had gone to church Sunday morning when they asked me. I was lazy in my work, but would make it seem otherwise to other people to make myself look better. Every day I did whatever I could to distract myself from anything spiritual. Whether it was going to the gym, my job, my hobbies, or hanging around the wrong people when I shouldn't have been, I turned to bad movies, music, and even for a brief time turned to drugs. I only wanted to live for myself. But all of those things, no matter how often I engaged in them, only ever brought a few seconds of pleasure before I became disappointed with my life and where it was going, which was on a dark path. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for us all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. My parents and many of my siblings and friends would often plead with me to give my life to Christ and truly repent. They shared verses like John 5:24, which says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but passes out of death into life." But just when I would start to think about what they had to say, I would let my sin take the wheel, and I would go right back to square one with myself. Towards the end of 2023, I started to become very depressed with my life. I started distancing myself from family and friends and being at home less often. I began having many sleepless nights too. I would be up wondering, why don't I feel satisfied? I had a car, a good job, a relationship, but none of that made me feel complete emotionally. I can't remember the specific date, but one day in January of 2024, I was in my room watching a movie. It was a bad movie, yet one I had watched many times before. I started feeling uncomfortable with myself and almost ashamed for watching it. I ended up turning it off and sat on the edge of my bed for a minute. I saw a daily devotional Bible my mom had given me for my birthday. I grabbed it and began reading it. I read a chapter of it, and it was talking about how a life without Christ is one that is wasted. And it hit me, because that's exactly what I was doing. I was wasting my life away by not living it to his glory. I got emotional reading with it, and after I was done with the chapter, I prayed. For the first time that wasn't in church or around other people, I had prayed. I prayed and asked God to forgive me of all the wrong, sinful things I had done in my life and to lead me to him. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I found myself repenting of my sins here and there, then a couple of times a week, then it became daily. Over the next month of my life, had started to improve so much. It was a change I could feel. Church became a priority for me. To come and worship with other believers and to learn from the Word of God has helped me more than I can express. I started distancing myself from people I knew it wouldn't be good for me to hang around, and I ended my worldly relationship with the girl I was with and began making new believing friends to help hold me accountable in my faith. I joined a couple of Bible study groups and started listening to things like the Word Unleashed and sermons from John MacArthur and Pastor Tom and many other faithful teachers online. I start my day with prayer and end it the same way. I find myself praying for others I see might need it, whether they ask me to or not. I'm not perfect, and I still battle sin every day. But now I have the love of God within me, and he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin when I ask it of him. And in obedience to him, I'm here tonight to be baptized. Thank you.
Well, Elijah, I'm just so grateful that the Lord brought you to see the lie that there is joy and satisfaction outside of your Creator. And because he brought you not only to see that, but to see that your hope was in Jesus Christ, to put your faith in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's amazing, isn't it, this evening, to hear from these whose hearts God has changed. So exciting. I hope you'll pray for them and continue to, as you see them around, let them know that and encourage them that they took this step of obedience to the Lord. If you're here tonight and you have not trusted in Christ, you've heard the gospel. You've heard it a number of different ways and from different life stories. It's my prayer for you that tonight, before your head hits the pillow, you will do exactly what you heard some of these do, and that is that you'll find yourself alone, you'll put yourself on your face before God, and cry out for him to change you, to save you, through Jesus Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, to give you the forgiveness of your sins, to give you life, and he's promised that he will. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are amazed at your grace. Lord, this evening really isn't about these individuals. It's about you. It's about the fact that you are a seeking, saving God. That even though we are sinners, we've rebelled against you as our Creator, that you seek us in Jesus Christ, that by sending him into the world to live a perfect life, to die a substitutionary death, to purchase our forgiveness, by raising him from the dead, you made it possible for us who were once dead in our trespasses and sins, dead to you, children of wrath, that now we know you as Father. We have a relationship with you, our Creator, and we have a future and a hope, not only in this life, but forever in your presence. Lord, we thank you for the truth of the gospel. Thank you for these who have shared their hope in that gospel with us tonight. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray for Donna, for Fernando, for Peyton, for Reagan, for Tim, for Priyanka, for Michaela, Gabriella, for Jacqueline, Kyrie, and Elijah. Lord, I pray that in each of their lives, you would continue to work. Lord, thank you that they have come to know you through Christ, and now I pray that they would gradually become more like your Son in their moral characters. And Lord, help us as a church and their friends and family who know you to encourage that in them. Thank you again for our time together. And Lord, I pray for those who may be here this evening, who may be streaming, who have never trusted in Christ as these have testified of tonight. Lord, may you use these testimonies to draw them to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together as we close.
Amen. transgressions and sins. Without God, without hope in this world, then the glorious light of your gospel broke in. Father stood up from his throne